Veterinary advice on Talk About with Danny the Vet. Brought to you by Pet Mania, Manor West Retail Park, Tralee.
Good afternoon, Danny.
Good afternoon, Deirdre.
How are they all in Killarney?
They're all doing very well, thank you.
Ah, great stuff. Well, Danny, I don't know what's in the water, but I've never seen anything like the amount of questions we have for you this week. Are you very busy in the practice? Is there something going on at the moment with our pets?
No, just normal, really. It's kind of all year round. It's kind of all year round, really.
This is it. And I suppose dog ownership as well has gone so busy in this country too.
And I think people are actually looking after pets better as well now.
Isn't that good to hear?
It's all part of the one thing, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we better get down to it. And I'll start off with this one. A caller has a four-year-old golden retriever and is wondering what diet would Danny recommend for her? And does he recommend supplements such as omega-3? And our caller noticed that there was a lot of them on sale during her last visit to the pet shop.
Yeah. Basically, Labrador, you can't really generalize, but in general, Labradors, you have to, when they get to that age, you have to watch their weight. Labradors generally like their food. And they're one of the breeds. They're a fabulous dog, wonderful personalities, quite intelligent, but they're quite fond of their food and they can put on weight. So that's the one thing you need to watch with labs. So generally we would recommend sort of once a day feeding, and the better dog foods, the better brands of dog foods will have omega-3 and glucosamine, etc. in them. So, and also often people will go for a cheaper brand of food thinking that it is cheaper, and they generally aren't, because what actually happens is it depends on how digestible the food is. What you find with the cheaper foods is that you need to feed a lot more, and then a lot more comes out the other end, so you have a lot more cleaning up to do. So generally if you read the directions on the better foods and go with the recommended amounts, people generally overfeed them. You actually are feeding quite a lot less in volume of the better foods than of the cheaper foods. So that's something to bear in mind. And also, we're very generous with our cupfuls, for humans and animals. Basically, if you get your dog weighed, a vet will give you a target weight, and they will tell you exactly, or a veterinary nurse, but they'll tell you exactly how much you should feed. And then weigh it and get a cup or something and put a line in the cup so you know exactly how much to give every day. And if you stick to that, exercise is important, but most of us will know, weight loss is 90% food, 10% exercise. So often people will, and we weigh dogs when they come into our practice. We have a weighing scales on the table and one at the front as well, and we weigh them every time. And people think, God, I think my dog is really thin, and you can point out to them, no, your dog is the exact right weight, and actually, by the way, actually has gained a couple of kgs since the last time. So basically that's the one thing with labs. Just watch what they're feeding. You're generally better off getting a good food and follow the recommendations.
Okay, great stuff. Now we've a caller with a 5-year-old Basset Hound. Just over the last fortnight, he has started fighting with other dogs if he meets any while out walking on the lead. He gets violent, and the caller says she actually finds it very hard to hold on to him. He was neutered when he was 3 years old, but this aggressive behaviour towards other dogs is a new thing in the last fortnight. Would Danny recommend that he should be muzzled? Basset Hound.
Okay. What? Couple of things there. Number one, first of all, anyway, to control a large dog like that, bigger dogs can be harder to hold on to with a lead. Generally, the recommendation there is to use a really short lead. So basically, if you have a bigger sized dog, this big long lead that's 3 or 4 feet long, no business with that. Just a really short lead. So that you have, because it's, physics is the law of the lever, the less distance, the less pressure there pressure there's on your arm. So use a short lead. That gives you much better control. And that actually, that dog, that's a behavioral thing. You need to go get advice there on dog training. There's a whole area in that. Basically what the dog, it may be trying to protect you from other dogs. And maybe when you're walking, you see another dog and you're getting tense because of, you know, God, there's going to be a war here again. and the dog can sense your tension, and then that makes, that reaffirms his anxiety, and he can even be more aggressive. So it, that involves training, and the training involves, it's for the dog and for the owner. So talk to your vet and they'll recommend a good trainer, but that's what you need to do there.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we have a nine-month-old Jack Russell obsessively licking her paws. The owner took her to the vet, who said she has allergies and put her on a special food diet. The dog is still doing it, but not as frequently. But our caller wants to know, is this a lifelong condition or will she grow out of it? Because the special food is very expensive.
Unfortunately for the owner, she's more likely to get grow into it and get worse. Basically, a very, very common condition in the breed is a condition called atopy. And allergies usually go, in the past we used to do blood tests and things for allergies, but they're not actually very accurate. And the problem with them is that if they have one or two allergies, they tend to have multiples. The fact that the dog improved on the food but still is itching a little means that there's more than a food allergy, that there's other things as well, and that's very often the case. And the way allergies work is there's like a threshold. The food might cause 50% of the problem, but then if you have a dusty environment or a rug or a carpet or dust allergy, that pushes them over. So sometimes by, you know, I'd say go back to your vet and they'll do a general discussion on, you know, things like where it sleeps, is it dusty, all this sort of thing. They can all reduce it. And also there's washes that you can use fairly frequently, which will reduce the allergen in the coat. So that's really a case for going to a vet and doing a thorough deep dive. But it's quite common that, you know, and the vet was exactly right in to deal with the food issue first, because the only way you can check for a food allergy is to feed a hypoallergenic food. But if it's still itching despite that, it means that as well as that, there's something else going on. So just go back to the vet and they'll do a full workup.
A texter wants to know, is it safe to put cod liver oil into my dog's food to help his bones? He is a 10-year-old setter.
There are better products, really. Cod liver oil isn't, you know... There are a number of there's a number of essential oils, but there's also other things that they add. You're better off to probably get a specific supplement for the joints. The problem with cod liver oil as well is that it's quite fattening because it is oil, and sometimes it can upset the tummy and things if they're getting a lot of it. So you're probably better off to get one of the recommended joint supplements, because they will have a mixture of things, not just the essential oils, there'll be other things as well. So that's generally better advice.
Okay. Now we've got some cat questions as well to move away from the dogs, Danny, but we'll take a quick break. A reminder again that Danny O'Sullivan from the All Care Veterinary Practice in Killarney is with us to answer your pet queries. Send them in to us as soon as you can on 066 712 3666. We're back with Danny in just a moment. 17 minutes past 2, you're listening to Talk About on Radio Kerry. Welcome back to the programme. We're chatting to Danny the vet, from Danny O'Sullivan from the All Care Veterinary Practice in Killarney. Danny, a couple of cat questions for you next. We'll start with this one. A listener says their cat has a cut on his neck. He got it about 4 weeks ago and it's still not healing up, and he's looking for advice.
Yeah, probably what's happening there, I'm assuming, is that the cat is probably still scratching at it and not giving it a chance to heal. And also it may be infected. So it's probably a case of go to a vet there. They might have to put it on some antibiotics, or in some cases, if it's like a granuloma, you might have to just surgically remove the area and stitch it, restitch it. And the other thing sometimes is if they're scratching at it, you can get these little like a little onesie that you put on the cat, which covers his head, lets his legs and things out, and he can walk around and everything. He can't get at it because the Elizabethan collars don't work very well for a wound in the neck, because actually where the collar would be sitting would be right on the neck. So we tend to use onesies and those. But if it's a wound that's going on for a long time like that, it's not going to heal, and sometimes that may need to be kind of debrided or cleaned up, or sometimes maybe even stitched or whatever. So I'd say best to go to a vet, and when you are going to the vet, make sure that you go with the animal fasting, because they may, you know, if they're going to do any of that sort of things, they might need to give it an anaesthetic, and expect if it's fasting beforehand. But I'd say that's a case for go to effect now.
And pray tell, where might one buy a onesie for a cat?
Well, I'd say the veterinary practices will have them, because you get all sizes of onesies for cats, you know, and colours. Yeah, sorry, there's cats. Small dogs, medium dogs, big dogs. So it's like going to a shop and fitting on a jacket or whatever, see what suits or fits, you know, depends, because they're small cats and big cats. And we've quite a few Killarney now, we've quite a few Maine Coons, and they're actually bigger than a small dog, you know, so they can vary a lot.
Okay, and what kind of colours are in for the spring summer collection for onesies and cats?
I'm afraid it's one.
Whatever's there. Okay, moving on to another cat question. A texter says, my male cat is 19 months old, has been neutered, and is very active, particularly at night, climbing interior walls. Is there anything I can do to get him to calm down?
Oh yeah, a couple of things. Anyway, first of all, you can get these little things where they play with. It's like a little tower. It can be made of rope or whatever like that. What they do is they like to work their claws on things, you know, sort of do their own personal manicure every day. So give them something to work on. That's one of the things you can do. Basically, if it's a young cat, it's kind of just exuberant, you know. It's not a case of being stressed or whatever. If cats are stressed or whatever, there's pheromone sprays you can use, but that's not appropriate here. I would say just get it something else to work on besides your walls.
A North Kerry lady has a cat that screeches when eating solids. She says, we're not sure of his age. He's taking mostly liquids. What could be causing the screeching?
I could nearly guarantee you he's got a mouth abscess. He's got a tooth with an abscess, or maybe several teeth with abscesses. So that cat would need to go to a vet, and they'd need to do some dentistry, maybe extractions or whatever. Again, that's a case for making an appointment with the vet and bringing them fasting.
So the cat is screeching with pain when he's trying to eat.
That's almost certainly what's happening there.
Okay.
I mean, could you imagine if you have an abscess and a tooth in your mouth, and every time you eat something solid, it's just excruciatingly painful? And the reason that it's taking soft foods is that, okay, it's still sore, but it's not quite as sore. But that's one thing with animals, is they can't, well, obviously they can't talk to you, but like, you do need to check their teeth, because a lot of the foods that we give now in the wild, the hunters and the coat and the hairs and everything, that's really rough, and the teeth, and cleans the teeth. But because we feed them domesticated food, tin food, stuff like that, that can cause dental problems. And like, anyone who has a toothache will know that it's a very painful thing. And sometimes we would find in cats and in dogs that if you have an older animal who's suddenly getting really cranky and just kind of growling at everyone and just miserable, it can often be a teeth problem. And like, I suppose we could identify that if you've got chronic toothache. I don't think any of us would be in much good, in really good form,
that's,
you know?
That's for sure. This is kind of a sad one. A listener says, I had three outdoor pet cats, but one of them had to be put down. I think the other two are sad now. Can that happen with pets?
Yeah, more so with dogs than with cats. I suppose it can happen with all animals, really, that can become friends. Like, dogs will pine after a soulmate. Cats tend to be a little bit more independent and a little bit more concerned about their own welfare than others. But whereas dogs, like, anyone that would have dogs will know that they get very upset after a companion dies. Also, with human companionship, often, you know, if an older person dies, the dog will really pine after them. That's a very, very common thing. But like, cats can too. And I mean, cats have personalities. Often their personalities are a little bit self-serving. I like cats, actually, but because they are that little bit more difficult. But that could be an issue.
Yeah, okay. Now, here's a very interesting question, and we're back to dogs again. A listener wants to know if dogs can get dementia. This listener has a Parson Russell Terrier who's 14. He's very agitated in the evening and will not lie down on the couch. He just keeps walking around in circles.
Yeah, they certainly do. And in a number of these cases, it's actually treatable. No, not all cases, but in a number of them. There's a drug that you can actually, first of all, go to a vet and they'll do bloods to see if there's something going on, because if there's a liver issue or kidney issue, if that was treated, you know, sometimes if there's a problem with the liver or kidneys, you get a build-up of toxins and that causes effects like dementia. But also you can just have dementia, which is age-related, and often that's caused by little areas, little blockages in parts of the brain, and the brain is like an electrical circuit, and you get these tiny blood vessels, and there's a drug that you can use that opens up the blood vessels, collateral supply, and quite a number of those animals do really well. So even if it is dementia, in a number of those cases, not all, but in a number of them, they can respond well to treatment. So I'd say go see a vet on that.
Back to the cats again. A caller has an 8-year-old cat with a very noticeable limp on his front leg. He doesn't seem to have any discomfort if I physically move his leg. If it's arthritis, what can I give him for relief?
Okay. Basically, you have to be careful with cats. Depends on the age, but if it's an older cat, there are drugs you can use for arthritis in cats. There's Metacam and Loxicam and a number of those. But if it's an older animal, you have to be careful what you use, because we would always, if they're going to go on a long-term medication like that, there's actually a new medication now called Silencia, which is wonderful for arthritis. It's a once-a-month injection. We use that and we find brilliant results. But with the non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which are given in a liquid form, it's always better to get a blood test done first, because if there's a problem with the liver or the kidneys, which is common enough in older animals, you shouldn't be using those, because they can be quite toxic then. So you just need to check that first. But if the bloods are okay, there's a number of choices for treating arthritis, but that's the first thing you'd have to check.
Okay, well, I know we're getting close to full time, Danny, but I'm going to squeeze in a few more ones that hopefully are kind of shortish ones. Texter wants to know, how many miles a day would you recommend for walking a 2-year-old Jack Russell?
As far as you can walk yourself, and the dog will walk as far as that with you. So whatever you're capable of doing, I can guarantee your dog will outpace you. Not a problem.
Okay, regardless of the breed?
Regardless of the breed. Dogs are like, they can get fit like us. So once you start exercising, they'll do more and more and more. Generally, most dogs can walk most humans.
Okay, that's good to know. Caller says he has 3 cats that are 8 months old and wants to know, can you leave them out at night?
You could. You could, but the problem is that, you know, if they're not used to the road or whatever, there's a danger of a belt of a car or whatever. And also, the other issue with letting them out at night, if they haven't been out before, is if they're stray cats or whatever, quite a number of the stray cats carry this feline AIDS, this feline leukemia virus. And if they fight with a cat, your cat can become infected, and that's a fatal condition unless your cats are fully vaccinated. So if you were leaving them out at night, you want to make sure that it's reasonably secure where you are, and also make sure that they are vaccinated, because that is, we see it in quite a proportion of the stray cats are carrying this feline AIDS virus, and that's transmitted. Well, it's transmitted sexually, but it's also transmitted by fighting and biting. So those are the factors to think of.
One final one, Danny. A listener has a 3-year-old dog that's a cross between a Jack Russell and a Fox Terrier. The dog gets the hiccups sometimes after eating. He does eat very fast, but he got slow eating the bowl. Oh, he got slower when eating out of the bowl, and that has slowed him down a bit. So is that what's causing the hiccups?
It is, yeah. You can get a slow feeder bowl as well, which is, there's different types actually, but there's one, like, it's like a bowl, but it's got all these little sections so that the dog has to work around with his tongue and pick out one little piece at a time. That's useful. You can also get toys, and you can freeze the food so that they shake it and they get a little bit out of the time. So that's the way of doing that. But it is eating too fast and taking in air during it. So that's what's causing
the problem. Very good. Danny, we better let you go. I know we're over time, but we just had a huge number of questions for you today. And fair play, as always, you got through them all. So thank you so much for your time and expertise. And we'll chat to you again next month.
Thank you, Deirdre.
And that's Danny O'Sullivan there. And you'll find him at the All Care Veterinary Practice in Killarney. Now, 29 minutes to three, if you're keeping an eye on the clock. Lots more still to come in the final half hour of Friday's Talk About. We've another competition for you with tickets to win to a very, very nice show that's happening here in Tralee later on in the month. We will be talking about bad language and swearing and why do Irish people seem to swear so much. We've got lots of comments to read for you, and of course Brendan will be back later on as well with some of your queries answered. As always, if there's anything on your mind that you'd like to share this Friday, you can call Padraig on 066 712 3666.